Good morning. Our reading today comes from the Gospel according to Mark. Mark is the shortest of the Gospels, the earliest to be written, and there is an urgent pace to the telling of the story. Jesus is teaching his companions in parables, and they don't understand. He decides to move on to the next village. But first, there is this episode in the boat. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, stilling of a storm. On that day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go across to the other side of the lake." So after leaving the crowd, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. Now a great windstorm developed, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was nearly swamped. But he was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. They woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are about to die?" So he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be quiet, calm down." Then the wind stopped and it was dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you cowardly? Do you still not have faith?" They were overwhelmed by fear and said to one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and sea obey him." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Will you join me in prayer, please? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives shine with your presence, O God, and make your loving difference. Amen. What do you do in a storm?
What do you do, Eric?
Stay inside.
Stay inside, do you?
Like when a storm is just whistling around and the rain is just coming down in sheets.
I missed it.
Well, some folks just love to wrap themselves in a blanket and find a book and be close enough to the window that you can see what's going on, but be far enough from the window that it doesn't touch you or feel, you don't feel threatened by it, but you just curl up. You may be one of those who, like so many people that I met in the Kootenays when I was there, race around and unplug the television and the computer and all the potential things, because power surges are big in the Kootenays, and go find, like, stay away from plumbing fixtures and go set up a chair at a strategic place by a stairwell, right? Storms can be powerful. Lightning storms, if you've ever lived on the prairies, can be really powerful. Or wind storms can just pick your roof up and put it in your neighbor's yard. Storms can be powerful. I have a distinct memory of a Saturday morning, one time many years ago, looking out the window with my then young son at sheets of water just pouring out of the sky and overwhelming the gutters. And looking at each other and saying, "Yep, it's time to go outside." And putting on our gumboots and our rain pants and our rain jackets and our getting our umbrellas and going right out there and standing right in the middle of it, feeling the full impact of it. Going underneath that place where the gutters were overwhelmed with your umbrella and having and feeling the water just go on top of your umbrella and watching it pour down around you and going tearing through the puddles and so on. Or in better still, in a lightning storm, heading out onto the deck to see God's very own sound and light show. Just to stand in it, to feel the raw power of it, even to play in it. That'd be another approach. However, the enjoyment of the power of a storm turns to something else when that very power rolls over you like an invading army. Tsunami strength. When confronted with that kind of destructive power, the fragment of a piece of poetry from Gordon Lightfoot comes to mind. Does anyone, for talking about the wreck of the Edmunds Fitzgerald on Lake Superior, does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? There is wisdom in the instinct to head for low ground and protected areas when the storm hits. There's wisdom in that. But there is another, also counter impulse, the one born of sheer curiosity and excitement in the power of a storm, that causes us to also want to get out there in it, to engage the storm, to lean into it, to feel its power like the winds of God. There's something in us that tells us that the power is not just menacing. It's other things as well. Not just threatening. It's the power woven into the fabric of the universe that is life. Will the wave overtake us? Or could we possibly just catch it and ride it? I wonder. And I suppose it wouldn't be a big surprise to be facing such stormy questions given our gospel reading for the day. The story of Jesus calming the storm, both unforgettable and a little unbelievable. There is part of us that kind of dismisses the story as, well, scientifically impossible, and useful only for joking references to Will's foot size. Amount of cork in those Birkenstocks, you can probably walk on water, I have heard it said. Seriously, though, it is one thing to suspend our usual disbelief and the usual scientific worldview when we think about the stories of Jesus healing, because, you know, we've seen it. Incredible recoveries, unexpected turns for the better. We've seen that healing doesn't always travel on the same tracks all the time. But calming a storm, speaking to the raging power of nature, it stretches the 21st century scientific mind to the brink. But you need to know that when Mark, that is the writer of the gospel, first put pen to paper on this story, the storms of life were raging, as the song goes. The community of followers of Jesus were under the persecution of the Roman Empire, which had decided that Christians and Jews were a threat to the empire. And these were violent times. The temple of Jerusalem had been destroyed in the year 70, all but one remaining wall that remains to this day in Jerusalem. Christians were being rounded up and killed daily. So to be a Christian was to face a daily storm of threat in your life. And that, the tumultuousness of that experience cannot be understated. So to be a Christian and face this, if you were a Christian and you only took account of the power of Rome when it was storming, that sheer force, it would have given, or many would have given up their faith in the face of that power, or crawled into a corner and stayed quiet about it, at least. It's to this persecuted community, this devastated community, this thrown into chaos community, that this story is first told. A story which describes a storm-tossed group of genuine believers who get caught up in the power of the storm and forget for a moment the power of the one who is with them in the boat. You can start to see the power of the story. It's an easy thing to do to get caught up in the power of the storm and forget about the power of the one who is with us in the boat. To get so caught up in the magnitude of the challenges that we face that we have a crisis of nerve. Or that we get so confused by the sheer number of choices we have to make that we pull back in life. When things are changing, when things are wild out there, it's easy to let the power of that wildness frighten us into smallness. If you're among the grad class of 2015, sitting at the window looking out at the life ahead of you today, and at the world that you're heading into, I'm guessing the experience is a mingling of both excitement and exhilaration on the one hand, and fear-inducing intimidation on the other. I remember graduating. I graduated in 1981. Ronald Reagan was in the White House, and Leonid Brezhnev was the head of the Soviet Union. And both sides of this standoff were building nuclear warheads to beat the band and piling them up and pointing them at each other. And we were right in the middle. They called it the arms race. And there were so many warheads, thousands. And each one could have devastated a place the size of the Lower Mainland. And these warheads were on high alert. The biggest threat was not that these two powers would get into a spitting match with obvious devastation that would come with that. No, the biggest threat on high alert was a computer glitch. And that's really scary. An accidental disaster that got out of hand. When I look back at 1981 and what things looked like as I looked out of the window into that particular storm, if all we had accounted for was the power of the storm raging in the world, it would have been easy to either panic or crawl into a hole. It's easy to do. It really is. It's easy to be a disciple who loses track of the power of the one who is in the boat because the power of the storm is in your face. Pick a storm. Internet security. Climate change, species extinction, peak oil, Canadian foreign policy. These are just a handful of the big ones. Pick a smaller storm, a more personal storm. The storms that kind of roll over our lives, the losses, the family situations, the abuse sometimes, the conflict. Plenty of storms out there to cause you to pull back and hunker down. But friends, we mustn't forget the power of the one who was with us in the boat. Mustn't forget the power of two or three disciples gathered in the name of that one, gathered in the name of the love that is at the core of it all, that unifying power of the universe. As we look out the window on the world, as you grads look out the window on the next part of your life, with its freedom and dazzling array of choices to make, as any of us at any stage in our life peer out at the storm, remember that the storm doesn't actually get to set the agenda of your life, doesn't actually get to determine the state of your soul. You do. And when you are setting that agenda, know that there is a power that is with you, a light that is within you, that is formidable. These candles burning under the watchful breath of the fan. These candles on the communion table today, one for each of you, seem pretty small in this great big room. They seem pretty flickery and vulnerable in this vast world. But I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that the light within you, all of you, each of you, the light within each of us, if we take full account of where it comes from, of its true source, that light, united with the soul-powered light of one or two others, can change the course of history and can calm the storm. I look at you, and I look at the storm, and I say, we're going to be just fine. So friends, put on your gumboots, and your rain pants, and your raincoats, and take hold of that light of Christ that burns in your heart, and in your mind, and in your life. Look to your left and look to your right and see who's with you and head out into the adventure of the day. Feel the power of the storm that's battering you around, and never underestimate the power of the light to shine your way. Amen.